Wilson, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Let's not waste any time. Joining us now, he's got the most popular Twitter account in the state of Utah right now, Frank Saravalli, the hockey insider and president of hockey content for Daily Faceoff. Frank, I know it's a busy time for you. Thanks for carving out a few moments for you. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Great to be in Salt Lake. I think this is the first interview I've done, so really looking forward to I think we're going to be talking a lot.
The status update, you're sending out tweets right and left on what's going on right now with the NHL, with Ryan Smith and the ownership group in Phoenix. Give me your odds on what you think is going to happen in terms of an NHL team playing in Salt Lake City next year.
So if you were walking into a sports book in Vegas and you were looking at the odds board, it would say, will the Arizona Coyotes franchise be playing in Salt Lake City next season? You'd probably be looking at a minus 275 next to it. This is developing rapidly. It's not done, but I'm told that they've made significant and meaningful progress on what would be the framework of an agreement to sell the Arizona Coyotes franchise ultimately to Ryan Smith and the Smith Entertainment Group and bring NHL hockey to Salt Lake City in time for puck drop in October.
Frank, I want to address one of your tweets specifically where you said sources say Yotes players have been informed that something of a verbal agreement is in place to relocate to Salt Lake City. Take us a little bit deeper into that tweet, if you would. Just is this something now where even players, front office, that they're getting some level of acknowledgement that there's a move?
Yes, and I would say that it's a step further than that, in that the NHL has sent a memo to the Board of Governors alerting them. I haven't had eyes on that memo yet, but I can tell you this. It's been sent to a very, very small circle of owners, and even some other members of the Board of Governors have not received this memo. They're trying to keep the circle tight. So there's been an acknowledgement in league circles among owners that something is happening. There is an acknowledgement to Coyotes players that something is happening. And the best way I can explain it is, because this is complicated and there's a lot of nuance to it, I do think that the two sides, or I guess you could probably include the NHL in on this, the three sides are either very close or have an actual agreement in place that basically needs to be papered and signed and lawyered. So a lot of work still to do, but it's advanced to a stage where, you know, a lot of people feel comfortable in saying behind the scenes that this is going to happen.
Do you feel like the Arizona ownership group has been given assurances that if they can acquire that land deal after this sale, that they will be given an expansion team? Is that one of the conditions in kind of forcing the sale to the Smith Group?
Well, it's not a forced sale, so I want to be clear about that. Alex Mariuolo is the owner of the Coyotes. He's doing this under his own free will. And he's, at least according to my sources, going to be paid handsomely to do it. I believe he's going to get upwards of $1 billion in order to make this sale happen. And so for someone that I believe the purchase price was in the $300 to $400 million range, that's pretty good business.
Yeah, it's not a bad return.
So I think he did okay, provided that those numbers are accurate. And I would say that, without sounding like a lawyer, I don't think assurances is the right word, but I think that there's some option there, or at least a promise from the NHL that if you get this, and this done, you build an arena, you know, you provide, you have the proper funds, you have all of these things, and it's probably a pretty long checklist that they would consider, you know, basically giving him the option to reactivate an NHL franchise that I think they're trying to retain the Coyotes name. It might even be a reboot of the Coyotes themselves in Arizona.
So, Frank, as you mentioned, our hope is that we can have you on in some level of consistency because just some background, I'm an NFL, former NFL player. I'm the voice now on the color side for the BYU Cougars. And
nice.
Scotty is the voice for Utah State. He's a college football expert. So we're all football all the time. And we really do want to learn a lot more about the NHL, become more familiar with it. In these moves, maybe whatever experience that you've got in these types of moves, is it typical that all the players, that the front office, that a lot of the management make the move with it, or is there even really a precedent set to understand what we're about to witness with the Coyotes coming to Utah and the personnel that's involved?
It's a good question, and what I would say to that is it is pretty typical for most of the quote-unquote assets, so to speak, of the team to be brought over to the next location. Like the guys that are under sort of long-term contracts that are the foundational pillars of the team, yeah, those are the players that you would expect to be playing in Salt Lake City next season if it happens. You typically, the coach and the general manager and all of those things sort of move over. I was covering the NHL in 2011 when the Atlanta Thrashers moved to Winnipeg. They ended up changing general managers. They ended up changing coaches with the ownership change. And part of that was just because the Thrashers just they didn't win. They didn't win a single playoff game in their franchise history. So I think they wanted to try and move in a different direction. What's exciting about Salt Lake, if this does happen, is I think the Coyotes are really uniquely positioned, whereas instead of wanting to start from scratch with an expansion team, if I were in Ryan Smith's shoes, I'd much rather start with the Coyotes. You've got building blocks of good players. You've got some fantastic prospects. You've got an arsenal of draft picks to deal from. And you've got a team that at least this season until January showed a ton of compete and fight. So I think they're on their way. They've got a long way to go, but if you're starting with an expansion team and just park the Vegas Golden Knights and what they were able to accomplish getting to the Stanley Cup final, their first season, this is a much better scenario to be in to reintroduce hockey to your market. I know the proud sort of minor league history that has existed in Salt Lake City. But in this case, I think this Coyotes team, it could be really good in a 2 to 3 window period of time.
Frank Saravalli joining us, hockey insider and president of hockey content at Daily Faceoff. You can follow him on Twitter at Frank_Saravalli. All kinds of great information, and he's been tweeting like crazy in terms of the latest on this. You circled a date as a potential announcement, and again, potential, but as April 18th. Do you feel like that this could come to a head on that specific date?
I mean, all bets are off right now because we don't know how the NHL specifically is going to react to the news of today. And, you know, I don't think that they're really one to make announcements before all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. I mean, they are two attorneys that are running this league. So they don't really leave anything to chance. And I got to be honest with you in the sense that if there is a hiccup here, if there's one roadblock, so to speak, it's that there's a bunch of people in and around this transaction that seem to have some, you know, worry that Alex Mariuolo, the owner of the Coyotes, does he get cold feet? They basically just want to get signatures on this as soon as they can. And that's certainly, part of this. So April 18th was a date that was floated to me by multiple people. It just happens to coincide with the day after the Coyotes play their final regular season home game at Mullet Arena. Some people think or believe that that's when a formal announcement would be made. And obviously being 8 days from now, it lines up with the idea that these three, parties to the transaction are pretty far down the track on making something happen. It's just that until it's actually done, I was told a long time ago, it's not done.
So, Frank, are you a little bit surprised that the Coyotes haven't been shopped publicly? It feels like any time an NBA team or any team out there is open and available, it's like, all right, well, let's put it on the market. Let's see how high we can get, what bids we can get. It feels like this purchase would be one of the few and rare primary organizational purchases that is kind of under the covers and behind the scenes and done without some type of public display. Does that surprise you? And why would that be in this case?
No, it doesn't surprise me. And the answer to that is in two parts. One, Alex Mariello has been really headstrong. Everyone has counted him out and said, you can't get a new arena built. You can't get this done. His tenure as owner has been, I'd say, certainly full of question marks about business practices and how he does things. And part of that, I think, has driven him and his family to say, yeah, we'll show you. So that's one part of it. And the other part is that hockey works a little bit differently than every other sport. There's a much more behind closed doors part of it. And you can read into that whatever you want, whether you think that's positive or negative. But there's a certain aspect to getting an NHL team and getting a seat at the table that you have to kiss the ring. And the smart people that end up being successful and get entry into the club, so to speak, they find a way to navigate that path and do it on the NHL's terms. And to me, a big signal that the NHL was ready and willing to work with Ryan Smith really came that he sent out this, you know, press release back in a few months back on the same exact day, 20 minutes after the biggest sex scandal that's hit hockey. It felt to me, it felt to many neutral observers like the Smith group was lobbing some red meat out there to distract other people. And I was like, damn, he gets it. He's on board. They're following the NHL's, you know, marching orders. You don't send out a release asking for an NHL franchise or for a formal process to be started unless you are playing ball. You don't do that willy-nilly. That doesn't happen in the NHL. And so that coupled with this, you know, tweet earlier this week from Ryan Smith soliciting team names, it's another thing that I was like, okay, this is probably another check mark in the column for the team in Utah, because look, you don't do that and draw attention to yourself unless A, you have reason to, or B, you do it with the NHL's blessing. So it's an interesting league to cover, I'll say that. And I'll be real curious to see how this goes from here.
So outside of the deep pockets and knowing how to play the game, like Ryan Smith has played, as you've pointed out, what makes him as an owner in Salt Lake City in itself a desirable location for the NHL?
From this, I can't answer specifically for the NHL, but my opinion would be it's one of the fastest growing markets in the U.S. By and large, it's mostly pretty wealthy. It has a hockey history. There's clearly a sort of tech component to a lot of what is being built in Salt Lake City, too. There's people, you know, that are moving in left, right, and center, it feels like. Proximity to some other teams, the fact that there is, you know, winter activities and stuff happening around it. It's not, you know, a Sun Belt team, so to speak. And I'd also say really the deep pockets and care that Ryan Smith has shown as steward of the Utah Jazz that has really helped his case. You know, this isn't someone that they're going into this blind with. You have to remember that Gary Bettman, he's been commissioner in the NHL for a long, long time, the longest reign of any commissioner in major pro sports, but he cut his teeth in the NBA before he came over to the NHL. And so he's got friends that would be able to vouch for, hey, this is how Ryan Smith is. This is how he does business. It's not hard to go through a vetting process. So you take all those things and you smash them all together, and it's also right place, right time. It's helping out a league that's in need of an exit ramp, and they're providing that in a building right now in Delta Center, and in the future with either a building that's done in concert with the 2034 Olympics or just Smith goes out and does it on his own. But there's tons of runway for this team to hit the ground running and be successful. And I also think the idea that they sort of rid themselves and rebrand the toxic name that was the Coyotes is going to be hugely important right off the hop.
So, Frank, you know, we've got a lot of rumors around here of Major League Baseball potentially in the future, and we've all been paying attention to that. I did some study on Major League Baseball and the money it takes to compete and the way the Major League runs their cap. I'm obviously very aware of the NFL cap and how hard that is. Covering the Jazz, I know what their cap situation, what type of money it takes to compete. When we're talking about Ryan Smith and the Smith Group ownership, what type of money does it take to be competitive in the NHL? Is it overspending? What type of cap structure is there? And do you feel like, I know you mentioned that the Coyotes' current structure and some of the things that they've got stockpiled could be competitive here in 3 years, but what type of money and connection does it take to be successful in the NHL?
Well, it's a hard cap environment. So unlike baseball, which doesn't have a cap, and unlike the NBA, which has different thresholds and luxury tax ribbon, so to speak, and the NFL, you can kind of continue to maneuver, and there's all sorts of machinations in place to restructure contracts. The NHL doesn't have that. So this year, the maximum that you could spend in the NHL is $83.5 million. Mm-hmm. Next year, it's going to be 87.7. You know what the number is probably even 2 years from now. It's another 5% tacked on top of 87.7. And you can spend to that limit and really no more. So, and once you're locked in with contracts, they're all guaranteed. The contract is what it is. So, you know what your cap structure is like. So to answer that in just a pure, sort of firm way, the range is somewhere between, I think the floor this year, the minimum you can spend is 62 something and the max is 83.5. You know, there's your sweet spot. And to be successful, 15 to 20 of the teams, if not more than that, are all spending to the very limit and maxing that out. So that's what it's going to take from a payroll perspective. But between, all the other ancillary parts of your business, if you're successful, you're making money. And if not, I'd say the teams that draw the least in a gate-driven league that the NHL is, the teams that have the smallest TV contracts, all those other things, in a bad year, those owners are cutting checks in the worst-case scenario for $25 to $50 million. On top of the payroll that you spend. So it can be expensive, but done the right way and with the assurances that the NHL cap system provides, it's a really attractive business model for someone to jump into, even someone that might not know hockey.
Well, we're obviously going to take a deep dive into this team and take a closer look. In terms of cap situation, you mentioned that the Coyotes have a good young nucleus. They've got a bunch of assets coming in terms of the draft. How are they looking? You know, when you lay that out, it sounds like they're in a pretty good situation cap-wise. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you've got an owner that wants to spend, the Coyotes are in great shape. They don't have a single defenseman under contract next season. Some people might be scared of that. Others might view that as opportunity. They've managed that prudently. They don't have any sort of anchor contracts, so to speak, guys that are dragging down your books, and they've got a pretty young core and nucleus that is really just beginning to scratch the surface. A lot of their best players and prospects are just breaking into pro hockey, and the future is really bright. Like I said, I couldn't be more impressed with what Bill Armstrong as their GM is putting together. And what's been, think about all the rumors and innuendo that's been surrounding this team for years. It's maybe the hardest place in the league to work. What happens if all of a sudden you swap that situation out and you're playing in sparkling Salt Lake City and all of a sudden it's a place that people really want to be? That could just totally change the dynamic of and trajectory of this franchise and what it might look like.
I just want to talk a little bit more about that transition of the Atlanta Thrashers to the Winnipeg Jets back in 2011. When it moved to Winnipeg, How long did it take for Winnipeg to adjust and get competitive? And I know, I'm sure, different market, and obviously they've probably got more affiliation with hockey than Salt Lake City, but how long did it take for them to get competitive?
A few years. They moved in 2011, and it took all the way until 2015 to make the playoffs. I'd say this Coyotes team is much further along than the Thrashers slash, you know, next iteration of what the Jets looked like. I think it would be reasonable to expect playoffs in 2 to 3 years, so cut that timeline down in half. And then what's been impressive about the Jets playing in such a small market since then has been, and truly one of the NHL's outposts. It's not only is it small, it's cold as hell, it's in the middle of the prairies, and it's not really near anything else. So it certainly has its sort of detractors in terms of trying to recruit players, specifically free agents. But for the last 10 years we're going on now, the Jets have been one of the very most competitive teams in the NHL. They've lost in the conference final. They've made the playoffs more than they've missed. They're vying for a Central Division title this year again. So I think in terms of success story and what the move does, the to me, it's the energy that the Jets brought to the league. It was like, man, we're going back to Winnipeg. This is a real hockey market. You go from Arizona to Salt Lake. I think you've seen the developments in Vegas and in Seattle for the NHL since. This is going to be, if this happens, a real shot in the arm for the NHL. It's going to be a shot in the arm for Salt Lake City. And I think it's going to become a destination. Everyone that I know that visits Salt Lake City can't say enough good things about it, and where it's heading as a market. I'd be real curious to find out what NHL players think of that in terms of a place to play and live.
I'm just throwing something out, you know, in terms of if you haven't heard anything, that's totally fine. But have you heard anything from the league in terms of, and demands isn't the right word, but expectations on Ryan and the Smith Entertainment Group on either renovating the Delta Center or building a new building on a timeline like we need this done by 2 years from now or 3 years from now? Is there expectations on when they want that to get accomplished, to have a permanent hockey-centric home for this NHL team?
No, I think it's a little premature. Building a more suitable arena is certainly going to be at the top of the list, but I think at some point, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know everything there is to know about Delta Center, but it seems like, you know, early kind of 90s, mid 90s-ish arena that at some point is going to need replacing in and of itself for the Jazz. I know they've pumped some money in terms of renovations and whatnot, but we know it's not suited for hockey. Yeah. I've seen the preseason games there that the Kings have played. I get it. But I don't think that the NHL, they wouldn't go into this saying, get an arena up and built in 5 years or else. Certainly would be a priority, but they'd go into it knowing, hey, it's not just the Jazz. It's not just whatever they name this NHL team. There's also the 2034 Olympics potentially that plays into this as well, that I think there's certainly some runway in order to making that happen that the NHL would be flexible with. And no matter what anyone tells you, I don't care what Delta Center looks like with hockey, it's a whole hell of a lot better than Mullet Arena and 4,600 seats. So even if it's 11,000 to start or whatever it might be, if it's 11,000 rabid fans that are spending money, that is a win in the column for the new team in Salt Lake, if that happens, right off the hop.
Well, Frank, I just followed the Daily Faceoff. I followed you on Twitter so that I can kind of follow what you're talking about and paying attention to. Some hot tweets just coming off the wire for Frank, and if you've been paying attention to it, it's just heating up. As we just kind of wrap things up, Frank, just kind of reiterate your thoughts on the likelihood of the Coyotes moving to Salt Lake City.
I would say it's well down the track. I believe that they've got either the framework of an agreement in place or they are closing in on the framework of an agreement in place, and they want to get signatures. They want to get this papered. Not there yet, not done. Still potentially some hurdles, which is why you may not see the league say a ton. But I would say on the whole, I feel pretty confident about the way that this has developed to this point. It's increasingly likely with the things that I'm hearing that we could see something in as soon as the next 8 or 10 days. But buckle up. These are exciting times, and nothing like this makes it out unless it's pretty far down the track. Like, I haven't really received anything or much at all by way of denials, maybe in some of the language that's been used, but no one has said, hey, you better slow your roll. This isn't happening. People seem to be pretty optimistic. It's basically just about getting it to the finish line.
Well, Frank, I anticipate this will be the first of many conversations here in Salt Lake City. We're fired up. As soon as you get into town, Hans and I will take you all to the best restaurants, because that means we got hockey to talk about. We're fired up, man. So let's get this from a selfish standpoint. Let's get this thing across the finish line. But again, I know you're crazy busy today. Thanks for carving out some time for us.
It's going to cost you guys. It's a fair warning. I'm a big dude who likes to eat. So
hey,
I'm in.
Hey, that's three of us. And we know the hot spot. So we got you squared away, man.
Dude, I'm booking my ticket.
Let's go.
Thanks, Frank.
See you guys. Have a good one.
You got it. Frank Saravalli, hockey insider, president of hockey content for Daily Faceoff. Follow him on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. Frank_Saravalli. He is now the most popular Twitter account in Utah because he is he's been dishing the news this morning right and left.
He had heated up, and he went as far as to say that there's been some acknowledgement to the Coyotes players of a potential move to Salt Lake City, and that's when things really get serious. Just coming from a former professional athlete, especially one that played in the AFL and made a few moves and actually was on a team that went up for sale.
Yeah. On Craigslist, right? Or eBay or something, wasn't it?
eBay, I think it was.
Yeah.
We all woke up and we're looking around like, did you see that our team's for sale? It causes great alarm. And I thought that was probably the most intriguing report that I've seen to this point. When players get acknowledgement, then it's probably even further than a ways down the line. It's about a signature or two away.
Yeah. Here we go, folks. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Joining us now, Tim, who's going to be a soon owner of NHL season tickets from RGS Experience.
How about RGS Arena?
Oh, yeah. Hey, one day.
Let's get that name on it.
Hey. So I've got a good friend of mine. We were talking off air a little bit about kind of mindset and kind of having these big, big dream goals. Well, he's in the Florida area, and his worthy goal is to own the Bucks.
Oh, really?
So I'm not going to throw that out there quite there, but that'd be pretty awesome one day to be involved.
That's the goal.
Sure. Absolutely.
Let's say that this new arena needs some exterior.
We can handle that. Yeah. Let's start there. Let's get realistic. We can help with that.
Are we going to do a full arena out of Hardy Plank?
Oh, now we're talking, yeah. Brother.
That's never hey. Been done.
You know what? Obviously the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is a big deal here at church at every corner. We actually just finished the very first church that they've done in James Hardy Siding. So that's a start. We'll take the first church that's...
They did a church in James Hardy?
We just did it. Finished a couple months ago. It was the first one in Utah. There was, I think, two or three. They're doing it as experiments, and the brethren all had to come and inspect it and verify and check off on it. It's kind of a big deal. But
walking away from the sterile brick, huh?
Yeah, we'll see. But they did one, and they tested it out, and so far so good. So if we can do a church in Hardy, why not an arena?
There you go. Hey, and that's the thing, though, is that there's no job too big. There's no job too small. You can get anything done. In that windstorm of 2020, I had a tree branch that came and knocked a good chunk of my ring gutters out. And you guys were out there, color matched it, made it look perfect. It was seamless. It wasn't a huge job, but you guys were on it, and you treated it like it was a $100,000 project. And that attention to detail does not go unnoticed. I mean, it was awesome.
Well, and I appreciate you say that. I mean, we do, you know, to be transparent, we do have a minimum job charge typically on a really small job. However, having said that, we treat the small jobs exactly like we treat a $200,000 exterior. Why? One, it's the right thing to do. But two, our whole goal and reason why we do those small jobs is know that we're going to turn that into a bigger customer later on, right? It's that referral. And we have about half of our work comes from repeat business or referrals as it is. So anything we can do to take care of Mr. Jones so that he'll come back to us, that's what we want to do.
Just give him a call and get this project started. You know, whatever the situation might be, maybe you just need some gutters. Or maybe you want a full exterior overhaul, 801-280-3110. Call them now. Get it started, 801-280-3110. We always talk about this. Prices aren't going to get – they aren't going to get better. Prices always increase. And right now, RGS has some of the best financing options you could ever imagine. I mean, Tim, you can get a project done and extend something as great as 0% interest to our listeners.
That's right. I mean, we have a lot of 0% options. And when you hear 0%, it's a real 0%. It doesn't cost you a penny. There's no fees. There's no costs. There's nothing, no hidden anything. And you can do 6 or 12 months, like, no problem. We do those every day. It's just a quick credit pull, and it's and I'll be honest and transparent. It's just based on a credit score. If a credit score is X, then they get Y, and it's that simple. It's not tied to the house. It's just like a credit card, basically. But you can pay it off early. You cannot. You can extend it out the whole 6, 12 months, whatever you want. But bottom line is just it's a way to bridge that gap till your tax return comes, or you just want to wait till it, whatever it might be, a bonus coming. We can just do that and help it and get it done today.
Well, it all starts with that phone call. Again, it's make your home your dream home, 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110. Make that phone call right now, and let's get you squared away, 801-280-3110. It's RGS Exteriors right here on 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present...
This is JJ and Alex.
It's not official. Obviously, an agreement has to be made on a sale. An agreement has to be made with the NHL to relocate the franchise. The owners of the NHL have to agree to that. They have to have a vote, I believe, to relocate a franchise. There's a lot of things that have to be done. But an announcement of a sale could be coming very, very soon. And all signs point to that franchise being sold to Ryan Smith and being moved to Utah. Get ready for NHL hockey, Utah fans, here in 2024-2025. Starting in October, you may have an NHL hockey team in this market. And that is so exciting.
Catch JJ and Alex afternoons from 3 to 6. Presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The 2024 Masters Update, live from Augusta, Georgia, on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, is brought to you by Uinta Golf, simply the best golf stores in Utah since 1971.
Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, in the midst of all this NHL news, and we will get back to that coming up when we wrap up the show here in just a few minutes. But Bob Casper, kind enough to join us from Augusta. Bob, it never gets old, does it?
No, it doesn't. And I'll tell you what, it's been forever since I've talked to you guys.
I know, right?
Too long.
Way too long.
Hey, really quick, I don't know. Well, Scotty and I just had this, one of the leading NHL minds come on with us, and he was breaking some news that it seems like the Coyote players now have some information in regards to a move and some other things. He feels like it's happening. What are your thoughts, Bob? Are you an NHL guy at all? Or I don't know how much golf translates to NHL outside of Happy Gilmore, but just your thoughts on a potential NHL.
You know, there's a lot of guys that are NHL players that play golf, Gretzky and a bunch of them that love the game of golf. So I think it goes hand in hand. I think baseball goes hand in hand a little bit with golf, too. It's the same swing, but just on a little bit different plane. And I think slap shots are kind of the same swing in the NHL. But I'm excited if, you know, if we're going to get one, I'm excited that we are. It gives us Utah more credibility in sport. You know, MLB would be awesome to get one as well. I don't know if that'll happen, but I think it's great news.
So let's talk about what you're looking at this week. Weather sounds like could be an issue there in Augusta. Is it already coming in?
Oh, it's going to be. You know, I've talked to a lot of people and they said one of two things is going to happen tomorrow. Nobody's going to play tomorrow. There aren't going to be any. They're not going to let the patrons on the grounds or anything like that because we're expecting 1.5 to 2 inches of rain tomorrow. There could be lightning in the morning as well, and winds. So there's a good chance they won't play tomorrow, or if they do play, they may play in the afternoon, split tee times, and tee off of the first and 10th hole and try to get things done so that they can at least play the weekend and finish on Sunday.
What does that do for the mindset of a player, Bob, when they're expecting to get out there on a tee box and a certain tee time, and then they get the announcement and they see the nasty weather, and then they're delayed and their exit from the box is delayed? How much does that affect a guy's mindset and psyche?
Well, you know, these guys have been seeing this coming along all week long. They've been talking about it. They know exactly what's happening, and they're keeping an eye on it. You bet. They are. But the other thing is PGA Tour players are used to weather. They're used to delays. They're used to suspensions, all that kind of thing. And so it's part of the deal, part of what they go through. It will remain to be seen what Augusta National decides, and they may not decide tonight or they may decide first thing in the morning. But the guys will be on notice that they know what's going on. So.
When you look at this course and what it looks like this year, we talked to BT a little bit yesterday, some slight revisions. Anything you're looking forward to in terms of how this course plays as opposed to maybe what we've seen in years past?
You know, we talked to Tony Finau yesterday behind the clubhouse, and he said that the golf course on Tuesday is the firmest and the fastest that he's seen it before. And he also said that that's what he likes. He likes the ball to hit and bounce forward and not to hit and suck back off the green. So that's the way it's going to be. But unfortunately, with all the rain and the weather and everything, it's going to soften up the golf course. Yes, they can still pump all the water out of it with the sub-air systems in the fairways and in the greens and that kind of thing. But still, there's going to be added moisture to the golf course that's going to make it softer. It's gonna, you know, the tougher the conditions, the better players excel in, and so it's gonna bring more people into the field and into a chance to win.
John Rahm won this thing last year. How's he been playing to this point, and what are your expectations of Rahm in this year's tournament?
Rahm decided to take a deal with the LIV Golf League. The end of December, first part of January. He hasn't played on the PGA Tour. This is his first event back with a major, defending champion this week, that kind of thing. A lot of people are saying he's hitting the ball extremely well, yet his results have not shown that on LIV. I think he's had some top fives and that kind of thing, but he's yet to win on that league, which you would expect that he would do pretty easily. So I don't know. There's 13 guys that are going to be playing this week from LIV, and you just don't know because there's not a lot of publicity. There's not a lot of people watching. It's hard to watch it as far as finding it, whether it's streaming or whether it's on cable, that kind of thing. And so it's going to be interesting to see how those guys do this year. But yet, having said that, and there's not as big of a to-do this year as there was last year with the first time the guys got all together. Guys have been together playing in majors and all that kind of thing. So I think it's worn off a little bit.
Well, Bob, we appreciate your time. I know we had to make it a little quick today. We went a little long with our hockey guy, but big news of the day, NHL appears very close to be coming to Salt Lake City, but looking forward to whatever we can see golf-wise coming up tomorrow. But thanks for your time, as always.
You bet. Today was the par 3 contest. Okay? Just got to throw this out. We had 5 holes in one today.
Jeez.
So, Sepp Straka on number 5, Luke List, Gary Woodland, and Victor Hovland on number 6, and Lucas Glover on number 7.
Is that the most on a par 3 tournament?
It's pretty close. Yeah, if it's not the most, it's pretty close.
That's got to be. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it.
Right, thank you, Bob.
You bet. Take care.
There he is, Bob Casper, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Take our final break, recap everything, get you ready for JJ and Alex next, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Brian Taylor joins us now, co-host of Real Golf Radio. He is live in Augusta for the Masters.
Is there a single overlying storyline that people are talking about?
Scottie Scheffler is a big storyline. Having won 2 years ago, having won two of his last three starts with a second in the other one, and one of them being the Players' Championship, he's the number one player in the world, and he's an outright favorite. That's not always the case coming in here, and so I think that's a big storyline. Rory trying to complete the Kerr Grand Slam in year 10. John Rahm is the defending champion and live defector. So I think those are, and then obviously Tiger. He's looking for 24 consecutive cuts made here at Augusta. That would be a record. He's tied right now at 23, and if he is able to make it to the weekend, he will have the most consecutive cuts made in the history of the Masters. So that's a little storyline to watch, see if he can get to the weekend.
Catch DJ and PK, mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Chevrolet. Proudly serving Utah since 1926. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right, yeah!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Standing here beside you. Want so much to give you this love in my heart that I'm feeling for you.
Let them see we're crazy. I don't care about that.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, wrapping up another edition of the show. By the way, go to kslsports.com. Great write-up on the latest with the NHL potentially moving a team to Salt Lake City. Frank Saravalli joined us. That audio should be attached to that story. So if you missed that interview, I highly suggest you listen to that. He is putting the odds extremely high that this is going to happen and that we will have hockey in Salt Lake City in the 2024-2025 season. He didn't say it's a done deal, but he said it's getting about as close as you can to becoming a done deal.
Didn't he handicap it?
At like minus 270 or something.
Yeah.
Like
that it would be here?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if you don't know the handicap system, that means it's very likely.
Yes.
That interview is great. From everything from the cap understanding of the NHL to what the Coyotes currently look like and their assets and their ability to move and build and grow to what actually translates from the Phoenix area to the Salt Lake City area in terms of players and front office guys and comparisons of what happened with the Thrashers that moved to Winnipeg and became the Jets, and which was just in 2011, and everything else. Like his insights are great, and we hope to make Frank a staple of the Hans and Scotty show.
Well, and that that certainly would mean that the NHL is coming to Salt Lake City. And, again, we'll keep you posted. Any updates, any insight. I know Mitch Harper is filling in for Alex, and JJ are going to break it down coming up more in just a few moments as they kick off that show. So we got you covered from every angle, folks, and nobody's going to cover this story better than us because we are on this thing from every single angle. All the best guests, all the insight, we'll have it covered for you. Follow us on Twitter. Make sure to follow us on KSLSports.com, and then listen in. We'll make sure to get you updated every single step of the way. So again, this is there are certain milestones. When Utah got into the Pac-12, that was a huge milestone here in this market. When BYU finally got into the Big 12, that was a huge storyline. When the Olympics came, there are certain signature moments in sports in Utah history. And we might be on the precipice of one of those happening right now.
Yeah, and Scotty and I want to be, you know, right there with you, just on the cutting edge of it and bringing you that information and insight. This is a lot of fun. This story is a lot of fun to follow. And I've got a buddy that I've become pretty close with, and he's kind of the inner workings of some Vegas stuff, Vegas sports stuff. And I've been talking to him about the A's and the stadium and what to expect there, talking about the Golden Knights, and he sent me a text and he said, enjoy the NHL, because he's had the Golden Knights come through. He was explaining to me the Silver Knights just built out in Henderson, and they've got a brand new arena out in Henderson, and they're doing some great things. But he said that the Golden Knights and hockey in Vegas has just caught wildfire.
Yeah.
Just caught wildfire. Now, I asked him, how much would Vegas like the Golden Knights if they weren't winning? He said, well, we wouldn't know yet. Because they did make a run to the
all they do is win.
NHL Finals yep. in their inaugural season. That won't happen with the Coyotes as they make their move here to Salt Lake City. But the prospects of the expansion, Scotty, it's so much fun. Because I want to know, like, I want to be able to look back in our time in sports radio and be like, oh, yeah, Scotty and I were on air.
Yeah.
When whatever, the Yetis or whatever they end up calling it, came to Salt Lake City. And this will be a big monumental move.
Well, Tim's been
hanging. Great moments are born from great opportunity.
Show without having to hear this.
And that's what you have here tonight, boys.
Tim's hanging out with us, RGS Exteriors. Lloyd, I'm trying to go to break, man.
Scotty hates it.
Man, it's the Olympics right there, man. The miracle right there.
Yeah. Tim, obviously, thanks for letting us hang out here today. We love coming down here. But more importantly, we love our listeners being able to completely renovate their homes, make it their dream home, or just particular projects that need to be done. If it's the outside of your home, you guys can handle it here at RGS Exteriors.
That's right. We appreciate it. We love the listeners, too. We love you having you guys out here as always. But yeah, look, we're just here to take care of the customers, to your listeners, whether it's gutters, siding, windows, decks, whatever, really anything on the outside of the home, we want to take care of you.
We haven't talked about it. You guys are doing the deck thing
we
now.
We just started out with that. It's something that we've got good installers that have been doing decks for a long time, and we've got one installer in particular that's been a really good siding guy, but he prefers decks, and so he's worked for us part-time and decks part-time. We're like, let's just make it happen. So it just kind of worked out, and we've got about four or five sold so far this year and a couple done under our belt. So it's good. But the nice thing about that is, yeah, we're newer in decks, but the thing is our warranty is the same, whether it's decks or siding. So homeowners have peace of mind that we're going to take care of them. But, yeah, siding, gutters, just give us a call. Decks, whatever it is, we just want to earn your business and show you why we're Utah's top-ranked exterior company.
So deck replacement? New build?
So not necessarily repairs. We aren't wanting or needing deck repairs, but new brand new decks is kind of where we're just kind of starting out with. So
love it.
Yeah.
Let's get it done. And I think there's a couple things here. Number one, it can be an intimidating process. People can be, you know, concerned about, I don't know if I'm ready for this. I don't know if I'm educated enough to do it. And then number two, somebody might be like, I'm not liquid enough. You've got financing options. Like, there's no excuse you can come up with to not go ahead and get a project done if you really need it and want it to be done to the outside of your home.
Yeah, the reality of it is we can literally take every one of the excuses out. Money, we can finance it. We can make a very affordable monthly payment. The stress and aggravation, we got that taken care of, no problems. The not knowing what to do, we've got that taken care of. Really what it boils down to is you just got to decide, are you ready? And let's get it done. And if you're not, if you're just at the discovery stage or just at the budget stage, look, let us be part of that too. Let us come out now. We're not going to high pressure you by any means. We're going to come out and get you a price so that you know. And it may not be a fit. Maybe it'll be 6 months, a year. Who knows? But at least now we can get you an exact price so that you know what to expect.
And it all starts with a phone call. That's what I want you to do, is just get a phone call, have somebody come out to your house, give you your options, see what you can do, talk about your budget, have some open, honest, frank conversations. RGS Exteriors, 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110. It's all right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.